to Two Girls, One Brew. I am Christy.
Hi, I'm Catherine.
All right, so tonight we went to Zymerium Meadery. It was part of a masterclass from Joe, who owns the meadery, and we did a review of a curated flight. It is the only flight on the menu that is like everything. So, Catherine is bringing up what we had. We had so many things. I started the night with the coffee hazelnut mead, which, like I said, I would marry if it was a person.
Yeah. I think you'd marry it as a liquid also.
I would marry it as a liquid. I would not kick it out of bed. Because it's good. It's good.
It was tasty.
But
was it the hazelnut about it that really did it for you?
Because I don't know.
All of the other ones that you really liked also had hazelnut in it.
I do have a thing for the hazelnut, but I do love coffee a lot.
That is fair.
So it kind of like coffee with hazelnut. I actually have hazelnut syrup at my desk that I brought from home that I put in the cappuccino that we get from the machine. Anytime you get a mead that has, or any kind of beverage that has an unexpected flavor.
Yeah, that's fair.
You don't expect coffee
to be good as honey mead.
As a honey mead.
No.
You don't expect. You have and Joe was even talking about this, the owner, that you have an expectation when you have a mead that it's going to be like a thick honey liquid, a very almost like a one-dimensional expectation, but there are we tried some very different honey meads that were beyond anything that I had had in my mind when I thought of mead. So we had the curated flight.
Yeah, I remember kind of.
And it went
left to
right, and we have a
dry
picture.
Dry white wine.
It was the first one was like a dry white wine. That was pretty good.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I think my mom would love that one.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Well, and he says that the wine drinkers really love it.
We're into it, yeah.
And I can see
that. Aftertaste to me. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think definitely, he was talking definitely about the fact that meads, you can't really reproduce them.
I think I like that the most about mead so far. That's been interesting.
Because there is so much research on wine yeast and beer yeast, but nothing really scientifically done about honey and mead yeast.
Which seems kind of wild because I'm pretty sure there's plenty history with mead also.
Oh goodness, but there, but maybe the money's not behind it because it is so expensive to make.
How much do you think it is? Like if you had to give me a ballpark.
To make a mead?
Yeah. Like if you at home wanted to make a mead, how much would it cost?
You're gonna spend at least 60 to 70, if not more, on the honey alone. Because all it is when you make mead at home is honey and water. That's all you do. I made my first mead probably 6 or 8 months ago, and I wanted to make one with sea grape honey. Just honey's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the good thing is you're supporting beekeepers and you're supporting bees.
So you're saying we should become beekeepers and really get in on the market.
We should. We should. We should corner the market on
yeah,
bees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And make mead bees.
Mead bees.
Mead bees.
Yeah.
Joe was even saying that like they get 50-gallon drums.
That's a lot of honey.
Of honey, and it's amazing. Did I mention how high the ABV of what we just had?
No, you haven't. Please tell us.
It was at least combined. It was probably, I think the highest one was the first one, and it was about 10%, at least.
That dry white wine one was 10%?
It was 10%.
It didn't taste. I don't think
that's the deceptive part of it.
I don't think any of them tasted like 10%.
No, they did not. But and most of them are. It's a session mead.
Yeah.
And anything session is like six around. But several of them were a little higher than that. But you're just drinking such a small amount that it's not sessionable.
That was like the first time I came. I was like, oh, this is great. Everything's fine. And then you're like, okay.
Then you stood up.
No, I'm drinking.
I'm drinking. So we had the session mead that was like a white wine. Then we had the one that was dry hopped.
Yeah.
And that was interesting because I normally hate hoppy things.
Sure.
It smelled like hops. It smelled like beer.
It did. And I thought it tasted like beer. Personally.
I got it tasted a little more like sweetness.
Beer-ish.
Yeah. Beer adjacent.
Yeah.
Like, I could definitely taste the hops, but they didn't bother me as much as they bother me when I drink an IPA.
I agree with you in the way of, I had an IPA recently when I was out and about, and I was like, I picked it up because it said juicy and like jammy, and I was like, ooh, this is gonna be great. Just straight hoppy IPA.
Nah.
And like,
the definition of what people say is juicy.
Yeah, I think that that's what really threw me off.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what describes this mead that we had.
Yeah.
It had the things that I wanted of a beer, but being just a tad sweet to it.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked that one.
And he did say that it kind of turned out sweeter than he had thought when they made it.
God.
And dry hopping it afterwards is definitely...
Could you imagine just rolling the dice and...
Just throwing some hops in there and seeing what happens.
Man.
Yep. And then the third was
the lychee one, right?
The lychee, yes.
Ooh, boy.
That one was
almost sugary to me. Not in a bad way.
Yeah,
but
very
like,
sweet.
As you drank it, you were like, is my tongue going to crystallize with sugar? And that's what it felt like to me. And like, it was good though. And I could see why they would make it mimosas with that.
Yes.
When you're saying 7 ounces of a champagne, like a dry champagne, the 3 ounces of that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was
good night.
on Saturdays and Sundays, they do mead mimosas.
Mead mimosas.
So definitely check it out because that would be
fantastic.
That would be amazing on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. Way to start your day or end your day.
Afternoon, evening, good night.
then the next one we had was...
That was the ginger one.
The ginger one, yes. And that was one he was describing because he was talking to a James Beard Award-winning chef. And he made this thing with apples, ginger, and hazelnut.
Yeah.
And so he decided to experiment and put those in a mead.
That
one, chef's kiss... James Beard winning chef's kiss.
Ooh, fancy chef's
fancy
kiss.
Fancy chef. That was delicate, but it was, you could taste every flavor in it.
I think that is absolutely true. If I had to give it any notes, it would be I'd want a little more apple because I'm more of an apple gal. But if you're a ginger lover.
Oh. Two kinds of ginger, he said.
I didn't even
used.
Know they made more than one type of ginger. What else you got?
I did not.
What other options are there? But you tasted both of them.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which I didn't know you could.
Yeah.
And I think I think mead delivers something that beer and wine doesn't to me of flavor profiles. That pineapple habanero one I had in the beginning, it tasted exactly what you offered to me.
Yeah.
Which I think for me, when you tell me you're offering a flavor, I want to taste it or smell it or a combination of both of those. And I think in every mead that I've tried, I'm like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I can hear it and smell it and taste it. And like, hear it is relative to me. But
I want to hear that ginger.
I got to hear the ginger.
And then the last one we had.
Oh, yeah.
Was, you know, they save the best for last. They just like Vanessa Williams in that song. It was a raspberry,
Endless raspberry. Really was.
And honestly, the simpler it is, the more you kind of go, that was just that? There
Genius.
Is no water involved. It is honey and raspberry. That's it. Ferment it, put it in there, make it. It tastes like alcoholic raspberry juice. And
it didn't even taste that alcoholy either.
No.
Which was the other really deceiving thing. I don't know. Do you know what the ABV was on that?
I do not recall.
Me either. But I suspect it was high, considering the fact that just a 5 ounce pour was, I think, $16.
Yes. And a bottle was $105.
Which, you know what? Fair.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine 1,800 pounds of raspberries being cheap.
No.
Or however many pounds of honey being cheap.
No.
And you know what? It, like I said, with all the other meads, it delivered.
Yes.
It delivered on that it was raspberry. Like, there was no getting around It tasted like raspberries. Like, yeah. You open, like, a little carton of raspberries at the store and you smell it. That's exactly what it delivered.
The cool thing about this masterclass is that he was kind of explaining about the process. And some of the things about, especially about the yeast, not really realizing.
I've never thought about the challenge yeast or yeast in general.
or the thing that they will never turn out the same. So how, as a commercial meadery, like serving, how do you build an audience that will come and taste something different? That's
the market that it is. It's, you know, it's something's different each time. And then when he was talking about the different hives, like 5 miles away, or like, did it rain a lot that time or whatever it was, like, that's, I mean, I don't think you have to worry about that with winemaking and beer making.
I don't think it's as sensitive.
No, but.
Because you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of little animals creating this.
Buzzing around.
And it's so dependent on the atmosphere, the nature around it. I mean, it's fascinating. So, and it is the only meadery in town. That is all they do, is mead.
Yeah, and they make it here. Which is also wild. When I was like, oh, like, where else do they make it? No, it's here.
It's here.
And that's only open 7 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we came back in October, and it was like, so that must have been, they were only open, what, maybe 2 months then?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what is it, April?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they really weren't open then. They must have, like, just opened.
Yeah. So definitely check out Zymerium. It is on the corner of Lake Highland and
Mills.
Mills.
Yeah, this
it's
is Mills.
It's in the Milk District. Is it technically the Milk? It's Mills 50.
Mills 50.
It's Mills
Let's
50.
Call it that.
They have overflow parking if you come. There's plenty of
parking. Yeah. There's so many places you can park. Yeah.
So definitely try it. It's really an amazing vibe.
I love that Ginger designed everything inside. Ginger, that was really cool.
Yeah, and we're hopefully going to get to talk to her in the next few months when she's not as busy.
Well, yeah.
To be able to talk about.
It was packed house.
Packed house. Definitely check it out. It's amazing. We had a wonderful time. Try the flight.
I think the flight's the way to go. I think that's what they recommend also. It's like, if you're new to mead, which even when I came the first time, I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, and then I think a month later at the Ren Fair, we had a bottle of mead, and I was like,
I know what it is.
I'm here. We did it.
Follow them on Instagram. They have some really cool videos about the 1,800 pounds of raspberries.
You get to see how many 1,800 pounds of raspberries looks like. I needed to know. And he was like, well, go to our Instagram.
And you'll see 1,800 pounds of blueberries as well.
Absolutely. And the egg distiller, or the egg issue. I don't know. It was the egg thing that they made it in. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that it had to be egg-shaped, but I was into it.
Yeah. So support them. It's a local business in here in Orlando. And we definitely enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. I'm into it. Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
It's a really cool.
Different than beer, certainly.
Yes. Yes.
A different vibe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, I almost feel like we should say, as always, ladies, don't fear the mead.
This isn't quite.
Nah, we'll do it. Go back to the normal.
Yeah, okay.
As always, ladies,
don't fear the beer. Yeah, because mead and beer.
Yeah. Mead.